Good evening. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Good evening. It's good to be here in San Angelo, Texas. We thank the God of heaven for allowing us to come down and be with you for your summer series. We appreciate the invitation from my good friend, Brother Bonner, and we appreciate the leadership here at this congregation for the guidance and the leadership, and we're just thankful for the opportunity to come and to share with you a portion of our faith. I know I don't have to tell you that you have a jewel in the Bonners. You have a jewel in the Bonners. There's not many men that I call my friend. And Michael Bonner is my friend. And so we appreciate him and the Bonners so very, very much. They have been an intricate part of my family for, as he said, some 20 years. So we continue to appreciate him and his family. And we pray and we know that you are treating him very well. I am going to go ahead and get on into the lesson that he asked for me to prepare. So we're going to go ahead and look at Psalms chapter 11. Psalms chapter 11. Beginning with verse number 1. The Bible reads, "In the Lord I put my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance does behold the upright." We're going to launch our thought from verse number 3, where David said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do?" This evening we want to speak from the thought, encouraging the brethren to keep trusting God. Encouraging the brethren to keep trusting God. The book of Psalms consists of 150 chapters, all written beautifully by various authors who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. This particular psalm is attributed to David, that sweet singer of Israel. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. David was a type of Christ in that he was both king and prophet. Like Christ, David was faced with the same temptations that we are faced with today. David did not have it easy as a consequence of his sin. When he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, murdered. Because of this sin, God told David that the sword would never leave his house. David experienced tragedy after tragedy. But though through it all, he never gave up. He never threw in the towel. But yet he persevered through it all. David was steadfast and never wavered in his faith in Jehovah. And we see that truth come shining through in this short but encouraging psalm. One could say that this is the psalm of the steadfast. This psalm is to be believed to be referring to the time when David was serving in Saul's court. And because of envy and jealousy, Saul sought the life of David on more than one occasion. And in this short psalm, I want us to see three things. I want us to see the faithfulness of faith, or the fearlessness of faith. Then I want us to see the foundation of faith. And then finally, we'll look at the fruit of faith. The fearlessness of faith, the foundation of faith, and the fruit of faith. In verses 1 through 3, we see the fearlessness of faith. The Christian life is not for the faint-hearted or the unbelieving. God is not pleased with those who are timid, doubtful, or disobedient. God wants us to be strong and courageous, as he instructed Joshua in Joshua 1 and verse number 6. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We must have so much confidence in our God that we can look death in the eyes and not blink. David looked death in the eyes on many a times and did not blink, like the time when he stood before Goliath. We need to have that same kind of faith. Just like the three Hebrew boys, when they were told that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace if they did not bow down and worship the idol when they heard the music. We have to have that mindset Joshua and Caleb had when they came back from spying out the land. When 10 men gave a bad report, Joshua and Caleb gave a good report, because they knew that God was going to give them the land. Like Joshua and Caleb, David had that can-do spirit, and we need to have that same kind of mindset today. We need to have that can-do spirit. David said in verse number 1, "In the Lord I put my trust." David's faith was not in himself. It was not in his riches. It was not in his might, but rather it was in the living God. Our faith should not be in academia, riches, or man, but in the living God. Psalms 118 verses 8 through 9. Psalms 118 verses 8 through 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. God, when he brought Israel out of Egypt, he instructed Israel not to forget who had delivered them from bondage. When they got to the land of milk and honey, God wanted them to remember that when you get there, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse number 18, you remember that it's an I that give you the power to get wealth. And we need to remember that when we have a little success, when we get a little change in our pockets or a degree on the wall, it's not us, but it is the living God of heaven. For he is the reason that we live and move and have our very being. Flee as a bird to your mountain. The wicked was secretly making plans to destroy David, And guess what, church? The wicked is still scheming to persecute the righteous this very day. I don't know why we get all twisted and perplexed about how bad things are happening to good people. But there's always going to be a fight or a war that is raged between the righteous and the unrighteous. God set this in motion in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15 when he said, talking to the serpent and talking to Eve, I am going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. Then ever since then, the fight has been on. And there has been a war raged on the earth between the righteous and the unrighteous. And it's going to be that way until Christ returns or until we go the way of all earth. Run and hide in a cave was the advice given to David. This was bad advice from his friends. But to listen to them would be simple. It would be saying, I don't trust God. I don't think he can deliver me. When friends and family and our enemies say things contrary to the word of God, we dare not listen to them. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Verse number 3. It was very accurately said that the very foundations of law and justice were destroyed under Saul's unrighteous government. The answer to the question is not what shall the righteous do, but what cannot they do? When prayer engages God on our side, when faith secures the fulfillment of his promises, what cause could there be for flight? David had destroyed Goliath in the sight of Saul's eyes, who was afraid of a giant. David destroyed him with just a stone and a slingshot. And surely God would help him prevail over Saul and his cronies. There is no such word as impossibility in the language of faith. Grace knows how to fight and conquer, but she does not know how to flee. When Jesus is our rock, we can conquer and overcome anything. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none under name given among men whereby we must be saved. When we are obedient to the teachings of Christ, and when we submit to his authority, there is nothing we cannot conquer. There is nothing that we cannot overcome. Like David, we can overcome the giants in our lives. Like David, we can overcome the death of a child. Like David, we can overcome the death of a loved one or a friend. Like David, we can overcome hard-headed, rebellious kids. Like David, we can keep the faith until the very end. You can tell how a man is by how he is when he's about to die. Remember when David was old and on his deathbed, and when he could not keep the heat in his body, what was his instructions to his son? He told his son to make sure that he obeyed Jehovah. And that's what we have to do until God calls us home or until Jesus comes back. We have to remain faithful. We see the fearlessness of faith. And now, We want to look at the foundation of faith. David finds security in Jehovah. The Lord is in his holy temple. His eyes is beholding the deeds of men. What I see in this particular text is the omniscience of God. There is nothing hidden from God. You can't hide from God. Just ask Jonah. And I don't care if you even turn off the lights. God still sees. For the darkness is as light unto our God. Look at Psalms 139 with me. I'm going to have to pull out my readers on this one. Psalms 139, starting with verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. That is the omniscience of God. He's everywhere, all the time. You cannot hide and you cannot run because God sees it all. As he said, he is in his temple. And today's vernacular, we would say God is on his throne. Regardless of what's going on in the world, God is still in control. God still rules in the kingdom of men. God sets up kings and he brings down kings. It wasn't us who set Obama in the office. It was God. It wasn't us that set Trump in the office. It was God. And he puts them there that his will be done. We don't know what his will is, but believe me, God knows what he is doing. God is in control. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 21. Daniel chapter 4 verses 17 and verse number 32. Jesus, who is our commander in chief. Don't worry about the commander-in-chief in Washington. We got only one commander-in-chief that we need to be obeying, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the church, Colossians 1 and verse number 18. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, Hebrews 1 and verse number 3. And Jesus has all authority. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. And all men, not some men, but all men are going to give an account to Jesus Christ, whether they're in or out of the church. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10 tells us that everyone is going to have to kneel before or stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in this body, whether it was good or bad. So not only do you have to worry about watch your lifestyle, watch what you do, but you even got to watch what you say. Because all of us is going to have to give an account for every idle word. That's why our words should be seasoned with salt. If we don't have nothing good to say to one of our brothers and sisters, then we got to keep it to ourselves. There are times when we have to confront our brothers and sisters, but we need to do that in the spirit of love. We need to consider our own selves. How would I want someone speaking to me if I was in this particular situation? And if the words that I'm about to use are not good, then I need to either be quiet or rethink my vocabulary and find the word that is appropriate. Because we are to encourage one another. We get beat up by those in the world, and we don't need to come to the place of hope and get beat up as well. Our Lord tells us that we must love one another. And he took it to a whole nother level. We're not to love one another as we would have one to do unto us, but we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. And I got work to do. Because it's hard to love like Christ each and every day, each and every second, because I know sometimes I slipped. I say things to my wife sometimes that are not very loving. I say things sometimes to my children. They might deserve it, but I can rephrase it and put it in such a way. Because I know it's challenging to love like Christ. Christ never folded on his love. He was beaten and battered, spat upon, ridiculed, but never once did he mumble or complain. But yet, he prayed for those who misused him and mistreated him. And he did all of that. Not only did he take that beating, but he also gave his life, so that you and I could have a chance at the tree of life. We see the fearlessness of faith. We see the foundation of faith. Now, let us look at the fruit of faith. Our obedience to God does not go unnoticed. When we obey God, we get God, for he is our reward. The Lord loves righteousness. We are made righteous when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1 and verse number 16. And we have to remain righteous by living a life that is according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and Jesus' blood continuously cleanses us. But that means that we have to make sure that we are not one way here at the building, and we are another way outside of the building. The world should know that there is something different about us. Yes, Jesus said that we are to let our light so shine that men could see and glorify God which is in heaven. The only way God is going to get glory today is through his children who are living life according to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Someone said, if they took you to court for being a Christian, would it be enough evidence? When they walked with Jesus, they could tell that they had been with Jesus because their verbiage gave them away. You could tell when a man has been with Jesus because his life will change. And if you can sit in the church for 30 and 40 years and still be bitter and still be mean and still be nasty, you have wasted 30 or 40 years. Because when one is living a righteous life, when they're living according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a change. I am not the same man I was 25 years ago. I am not the same husband that I was when I married my wife. And she said, amen. Because I've been made a better man, and it's not because I'm the man, it's because of Jesus Christ. And she is not the same woman that I married 22 years ago. She has been made a better woman because of the teachings of Jesus Christ. When you hold fast to the teachings of Jesus Christ, things get better. They get better. The life of a Christian is not all peaches and cream. But if you hold fast to what the Bible says, all things will work together for the good. I didn't say all things were good that happened to us, but if you just follow the teachings of Jesus Christ on whatever it is, whatever storm you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, you just do it by faith and watch God work. Each and every storm that we have been through, look at us. We're here. And each and every time, sometimes something happens and some of us will lose our mind as if God has left the throne. That same storm God got you out of the last time, it's the same God that will get you out of the storm that you're in right now. Some said, according to trials and tribulations or storms, you're either going into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But whatever the case may be, if you just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, then you're going to make it through that storm. As long as Peter was walking on the water, as long as he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he was walking on water. We too can walk on water today. Whatever it is, we can walk on water. But all we have to do is make sure that our mind is stayed on Jesus. I have a song that I love to sing. It's called, I Woke Up This Morning With My Mind Stayed on Jesus. And that's how we have to be if we're going to make it through this walk of faith. We have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus, because our mind gravitates to whatever we're thinking of. When I start out the day, at the end of the day, I got my mind on playing 9 holes of golf. And guess what? When 5 o'clock comes, since I've been thinking about golf most of the day, guess where I end up? On the golf course. Why? Because I had my mind on it. They said when you're going to ski, that if you don't want to hit a tree, Don't look at the tree. Because you go to whatever you're looking at. So we need to make sure that we keep our eyes or we keep our mind stayed on Jesus. We have the favor and protection of God when we walk upright. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12 says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You see, we know that our God has our back. But all we have to do is to make sure that we are walking with our God and that our God is leading us. When we obey the word of God, we are walking with God and God is leading us. And God fights our battles for us when we are obedient to his word. We have the favor of God when we are obedient to God. And God will even make Satan bless us. We don't know how that's done, but that's the kind of God that we serve. I know the story of a young lady, of an older lady who went to church all the time. Her confidence was in God. Well, her next door neighbor was an unbeliever. Her next door neighbor did not like God, didn't believe in God. And so this old woman one day was at her window praying to God for some food. And the neighbor heard her praying. And the neighbor said, I'm going to show this old woman that there is no God. So he goes down to HEB and he buys some groceries and he puts them on her doorstep. He knocks on the door and he runs and he hides behind the tree to see what's going to happen. And sure enough, the old woman comes out and sees the groceries and she just starts singing and praising God. And that neighbor comes out from behind the tree and he says, hey woman, God didn't buy you them groceries. I bought you them groceries. And she turns and she said, Lord, I knew that you were going to provide, but I didn't know you was going to make Satan himself buy. See, God is able to use anybody to get his will done. Even Pharaoh did God's will. Even Nebuchadnezzar did God's will. And so all we have to do is make sure that we have the faith in God, that we believe what the Bible says. I had someone ask me a question one time about why get baptized. Now I could have went into a long, drawn out commentary on why we should get baptized. But I cut through the chase and I just told her because God said so. And that's how we have to be in some things. Some things Peter said about the Apostle Paul are hard to understand. But we need to just remember sometimes we just need to believe it because the Bible says so. So when we put our faith in God, we will see the fruit. You don't have to worry about the unrighteous, because God is going to punish the wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah is a preview of what's going to happen to the wicked. But he also tries his children, meaning he tests us. He tests us to see if we're going to stay faithful. And just remember, whatever test that we're going through, all God wants us to be is faithful. We don't have to be perfect. When the Bible talks about perfect, it's not talking about not making a mistake. But when the Bible talks about perfect, it's talking about being mature. So when I mess up, all I need to do is recognize that I messed up, go and tell whoever I wronged that I'm sorry, ask the God of heaven to forgive me, and continue in the race. Because the Bible tells us that a righteous man falls several times, but he gets back up. Whenever you fall, don't get discouraged, don't get distraught, just dust yourself off, tell God you're sorry, confess, and continue to walk the walk of faith. Because he's not requiring you to be perfect. You don't have to be the perfect spouse, just be a faithful one. You don't have to be the perfect Christian, just be a faithful one. And that's all God is requiring of us, is to be faithful. Revelations 2 and verse number 10. Remain thou faithful unto death, and Christ promises to give us eternal life. So as I close, David put all of his trust in God, and he remained faithful through all of his trials and tribulations. And we too must do the same. We must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know, our labor is not in vain. We too must be like Job. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return, but look at faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he also said, if the Lord slay me, I'm going to trust him. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust God. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, we want you to become a child of God. You become a child of God through the obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse number 17. You must hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4. You must hear that Jesus Christ lived and died and was raised from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. And once you hear that, you got to believe that. Because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized should be saved. He that believeth not should be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. After you believe that he lived and died and was raised from the dead, you got to be willing to repent of your sins. Because Jesus said in Luke 13, 3 and verse number 5, I tell you nay, unless you repent, you should all likewise perish. Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of actions. And then you must be willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to confess just like Jesus confessed before the high priest. You got to confess just like Jesus confessed before Pilate. You have to confess just like the Ethiopian eunuch confessed when he saw the water. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37, after being with that evangelist Philip, he saw water. He says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And the preacher said, if thou believest and thou mayest. He didn't confess his sins, but he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when he made that confession, Philip says, stop the chariot. And they stopped that chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized the eunuch, and he went away rejoicing. You can rejoice when you know you've done what God has commanded you to do. And once you're baptized, God himself takes you out of the world, Colossians 1 and verse number 13, and puts you into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the church. He takes you out of darkness, puts you in to the light. He takes you, changes your name from being a sinner to a saint. You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. And then after that, you must walk the walk of faith. Remain faithful until Jesus Christ calls you home or until he comes back the second time. Those of us who have died faithful in the Lord are going to rise first and meet him in the sky. And those of us who are still alive will meet him and to go to be with the Lord forevermore. And if you're here tonight, and if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then why not tonight? Maybe you're already a child of God, and we know sometimes we do sin. We don't practice sin, but we do sin. And when we do sin, the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If we can help you in any way on tonight, please let us know by coming down front right now as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.